You are listening to Radically Distinct Radio, and I'm your host, Jen Morgan. And today I have an outspoken and fiery actress with me. Her name is Mary Drager. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. Today we're going to talk about breaking the rules, taking people as they are, and living without a filter.
All three great things.
Great things. So tell me, Mary, if you were a superhero, what would you be?
I would be Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Okay. Who is that?
Okay, so Goku is a super, super strong guy who's really cute, by the way. He's a cartoon, but I'd still probably marry him. He's super, super strong, and he has, like, instant transmission, so he can, like, teleport anywhere he wants. And he can, like, shoot beams and stuff. And he just, like, has really cool powers, and I, like, want to be him so bad.
Okay. And what about you makes you feel like that's the one you would choose?
Because he's strong and I like that.
And you're strong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One of the things that you told me about you is that you think of yourself as a defender of the weak. What does that mean?
Well, that means that I really like to stick up for people that I don't think I can stick up for themselves. Whether that be animals, whether that be kids or even adults. You know, I cannot stand to see somebody just being kicked while they're down.
Okay. That made you emotional.
Yeah, it kind of did.
So where does that come from? I mean, obviously something must have happened.
Well, I was not the nicest kid growing up. I used to be a bully, and I really, really hate that about myself. I get disgusted just thinking about it. But, you know, I was bullied when I was really young, like in kindergarten, first grade. And at about fourth grade, I was sent to anger management.
Anger management?
Yeah.
You're laughing about it.
Yeah, I think back and I'm like, ooh, that was an angry little thing. But that's when I kind of realized that what I was doing was wrong. And
What made you realize it was wrong?
Well, I just was fully explained about how my actions can make others feel. And, you know, as soon as I really understood what I was doing and the consequences to others of what I was doing, I didn't want to live like that anymore. I didn't want to be that person. Mm-hmm. And so I made a conscious effort just to not be like that anymore. And instead kind of reverse a little bit and defend people that I see are being bullied or see being picked on.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you had that realization?
I was probably like 10.
10?
Yeah. Okay. Fourth grade, I'm trying to do the math, but...
Okay, so you were in fourth grade, and then when did you start seeing yourself, like, totally change, and now you're defending people?
Well, I really, really became like that in high school, because I went to a pretty rundown high school that, you know, was pretty notorious for, like, fighting and for not being the best, mm-hmm. And you saw a lot of people getting picked on, and you saw a lot of just really bad stuff going on. And that's when I kind of realized it, when I got into, like, you know, 5 fights by my sophomore year, and none of them were in defense of myself. They're all to help other people. Hmm. And I kind of realized it was a little pattern.
A little pattern.
Yeah.
So give me an example of somebody you might, it was like something that happened, and then you would, you know, maybe try to punk someone out or...
Okay. So, there was this kid named Joey. He was blind at our school, and, you know, he had a cane and everything. And one day he was eating lunch, and he usually, like, you know, would eat by himself. And I saw this one kid. He had, like, a, you know, can of Coke just chilling on the table. And this kid came up, knowing that Joey's blind, and just came up and grabbed the Coke and just walked off. And you could visibly see that Joey was looking for, you know, mm-hmm. he was looking for it. And I literally got up and I went up to that guy and I cussed him out. And I told him that because I was a pretty popular girl back in high school. And I told him, like, I would make sure all of my friends, all of the girls would ice him out. Mm-hmm. And I had a couple of big friends that I also kind of threatened him with. Uh-huh. And he went and put it back.
Okay.
And that's just kind of like, that's the kind of stuff, like, I will say something every time, you know?
Okay. You're fiery.
Yeah.
Your fire sign?
Yes.
What's your sign?
Sagittarius.
Okay.
We are so fiery and yet so careless, all in the same package.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. What does that mean to you?
Well, it just means that we're very versatile. You know, my favorite thing about Sagittarians and a lot of fire signs in general is that they will give what they're given. You know, we're the kind of people that, like, if you come and you try and be warm and kind to us, like, we will give off that warmth in return. But we are so crazy if you try and mess with us. We just go zero to just psycho and, like, quicker than your car, you know?
So, unfortunately. So, let me tell me about your driving behaviors then.
Oh, my God. I'm kind of scared to air this out. Can't PD we listen in? No, just kidding.
I get road rage would be something you're familiar with then.
Yeah. On my way here, in fact.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so funny. You don't strike me as somebody who would be road ranging when I look at you.
Yeah, like a lot of people get really surprised. Like they don't, like the first time they drive with there, they're like, oh my God, you should have left me back there. Like, and like, I'm pretty vocal about not caring about like what people think about my driving.
Okay.
Like for example, my last friend that was in my car, I just like, well, you're never driving with me again. Like, I'm so unapologetic about how I drive.
Okay, so you're going to need to get a driver when you get famous.
Honestly, like, as soon as possible, because, you know, I don't like being, like, tempted into, like, racing and getting in road rage spiffs and stuff. I call them myths, minor spiffs. But I don't like it, you know, like, I don't, because I'll be actively telling myself, don't do this, slow down, don't get a ticket, and I will just still be going. You know, yeah, you don't know why.
So, okay. So how do you, can you use that, you know, aggression and for good?
I think so. Like, I think like in the ways that I have with like defending people that are not really able to defend themselves, because fire signs, like they have that natural like ability to just stand up and say something. They're outspoken. And so, I think a good way to use that fire sign and good is to help, you know, maybe another sign or someone who's like not really able to vocalize like how they feel or how their feelings are being hurt. Mm-hmm. And you can instead do that for them, because they're also very good at communication, because we're really not, we're just not scared to say stuff.
So you live without a filter, definitely.
Yeah.
And what does that mean to you?
What that means to me is that like, I don't have many things holding me back. Like, I don't feel like I have many, things holding me back. Like, for example, like at work, like the people love that I'm like that, you mm-hmm. know, the people love that I come up and I'm just like, you know, Jerry, you've been down here 3 times, you know, go back up and do some work. You know, they love that I'm like that, that I'll tell the truth, because I feel like a lot of people aren't able to do that. So when they see someone else doing it, it almost frees them within themselves, mm-hmm. which is what I think is so amazing about acting, you know?
Okay. And when did you decide you wanted to be an actress?
I decided I wanted to be an actress about a year and a half ago.
Okay. What made you decide that? Did you always grow up? Did you grow up thinking you wanted to be one?
No, I didn't. I kind of had parents that told me you need to go on, you know, the doctor or the lawyer path, which, you know, for the longest time up until like about a year and a half ago, I listened to them and I let them, you know, I went to college, University of Arizona, studied political science. And, you know, the more I went through life, the more I realized that following someone else's path isn't going to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I kind of decided, as hard as it is to tell the two people that have cared for you, like that want the best for you, you're telling them exactly the opposite of what they want to hear.
Right.
You know, so you really have to almost like just like care about yourself more than you care about what other people think,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is hard to do in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know.
And when was the time, what made you realize that you wanted to be an actress?
Like I had always enjoyed acting. I never really realized it's what I wanted to do until like about a year and a half ago when I watched The Maze Runner, which is like, like the most random movie. Like I wish that it was like some like Oscar winning movie that like had my epiphany at. But, I watched this movie and when I went home, I could not sleep. I kept thinking about how like there's something about that movie, and it was just about how like they want to kind of, you know, they're trying to escape their situation, but something about the thought process of going through that movie that like made me arrive to the conclusion that I wanted to be an actress. And I mean, I just started like crying. Like, I mean, my whole life made sense when I realized this. And the next day, that's all I could think about. And a week later, I put myself into acting school. And, you know, from then on, I've been taking every step in the dark. You know, I don't know any other actresses. I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. All I can do is just Google. Like, Google has been my freaking agent. Thank Google's you, Google. Shout out to you. But, yeah, something about that movie made me realize that's what I wanted to do. And suddenly everything kind of made sense.
Okay. And how does this idea of living without a filter help you as an actress?
Well, I think, like, living without a filter, like, it really helps you, it helps you be honest with yourself and with other people. And in that way, like, you really are openly communicating what you want or what you don't want, what makes you happy, what doesn't. And it's when you can communicate those things and stuff that, like, and other people can communicate it to you, especially, like, directors and stuff like that, that you can really get to the bottom of what's going on, what the scene's about, and you can really, you know, just get with the director and create whatever is in their mind, you know, mm-hmm. what they're envisioning. And that's really, like, my biggest thing as an actress. Like, I'm trying so hard to just learn how to be just cooperative.
Is that a struggle?
It isn't when people are cooperative with me. Like, I have no problem, like, you know, helping out, being communicative and cooperative. It's just the second that someone else kind of tries to not be like that with me that, you know.
You have a harder time?
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of where maybe you've had to kind of put your foot down on set?
Yeah. The last short film that I did, it was for this director who's very nice. And there's this other actor guy, and he just was bugging the living crap out of me. So, and I could tell he was really bugging the director. You know, Meisner training really teaches you how to see the reactions of people. And, the actor was just pretty much trying to tell the director how to direct and trying to tell the actors how to act. And then he had the unfortunate decision of trying to tell me how to act. And I took one look at him and I told him, this is your first movie. You don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me how to act. That's what the director does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to get in this big cussing match or the screaming match. You just have to look at them, show I'm taking you seriously. You got to take me seriously. Mm-hmm. And then just lay down the law.
Okay. And how did that go?
I could tell he was a little butthurt. He was butthurt. He was so butthurt. But he later said,
like,
he kind of...
His tail went between his legs.
Yeah, exactly how he looked. Like, he, like, went off by himself, smoked a cigarette. And then, but you know what? I didn't really see him kind of be like that towards, at least towards the director. And he definitely did not make any kind of comment towards me again.
Interesting. So, okay. So do you have advice for anybody who maybe standing up for themselves is not easy? Maybe they get walked on a little too much. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah. My advice would just be to really put yourself first and put yourself, put yourself in a position where you won't let yourself be put down or torn down or anything like that, because, you know, no one deserves that. And the sooner that you realize that you don't deserve that and you don't have to take that, you have the power. You know, all you got to do is open up and say how you feel. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, and like everyone has the right to do that. And don't be scared. You know, don't be scared what people think. Don't be scared if someone's not going to like that you're standing up for themselves, because, you know, if you're not liking something that they're doing, then really you guys are just even then.
Yeah. So, you know, so if you're getting walked on, like, change your mindset about your self-worth.
Yeah, exactly.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Put yourself, you know, put your worth so high that, like, you won't take that, you know, like, you don't deserve to take that. And the second that you really, like, put yourself into that mindset that I'm not going to take anything I don't deserve. And then it just kind of, it's very freeing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more you do it, the more that, like, it becomes just natural. And you're really doing yourself a service, you mm-hmm. know, because you're communicating to others, like, how you're feeling. And especially if you're not feeling good about what they're saying, then you can make sure that it's changed.
Do you find it hard to walk the balance between being nice and, like, laying down the law?
To be honest, I found a pretty good balance, because I very much see myself as, like, a mirror, you know, like a reflector. You know, whatever you give to me, I'm going to give back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little more.
You're going to magnify it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, like, I love being kind to kind people. I love when people are just nice, genuinely try and help each other out. Like, those are my kind of people. But I'm just not scared to just be a jerk to the jerk. Mm-hmm. You know, like I really like, I almost enjoy it. You know, I love giving people like tastes of their own medicine and then watching the reaction.
Yeah. And it fascinates me. Like one thing that I find fascinating about you is just how unapologetic you are about it.
Yeah.
You'll just like turn on a dime and be like, excuse me, but no.
Yeah.
No. And P.S., you look awful in that outfit. And I'm like, oh my God. okay. So tell me, so this is a lot of really learning how to listen to yourself. Because at least from my perspective, when people need to speak up for themselves, a lot of times we've sort of pushed down our own feelings so much that we start to lose touch with the difference between when we need to stick up for ourselves and when maybe we're just maybe overreacting.
Oh, yeah. But mm-hmm. I feel like if something hurts your feelings enough to where you feel like you can, I think every human has that in them that they can tell when someone does something to hurt their feelings. You know, you can tell when someone does something unintentionally to hurt your feelings or when they say something they didn't mean. But I feel like I have a pretty good sense of people. And I feel like if someone's trying to cut me down, you can usually kind of tell. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I'm kind of undecided if someone keeps continually tries to tear me down or not, but it's not someone I'm going to put myself around, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And do you find that you've had to work on that? I mean, obviously, so I think confidence is something that is like a muscle. It's not like something yes. you have or don't have. It's like you have to you kind of work on it. So if it's confidence in acting, for example, the more you act, the more it confident is. You'll become.
You know?
But then there's like self-confidence, which is how well do you listen to yourself? And if you've been beaten down a lot, meaning, you know, things really haven't gone your way so many times in life, it can be harder to get that back.
Oh,
have
yeah.
you ever lost that?
You know, I have had times where I've questioned it. And, you know, I keep trying to tell, I just got to tell myself, you know, confidence is an attitude forged from within. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you believe on yourself about yourself on the inside is what you're going to manifest on the outside. So there's those times where, like, you know, you feel a little bit down about yourself or you feel like, you know, the world is just like against you. But those are the times I try and really put things into perspective and try and think about how I can change things and how I can make my life better instead of just, you know, thinking about it or, you know, talking about it and stuff. Like I really try and change it.
Mm-hmm. Change the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to women, like, so women sometimes around each other can be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed any competitive behaviors amongst women, like somewhat that aren't talked about?
Yeah, honestly, women are seemingly always in competition with each other, you know, whether it's the guy, whether it's the shoes. And, you know, I think that a part of it is just like human nature. I think we're like naturally going to kind of, you know, compete with each other so that, you know, like for example, you see a girl, she has, you know, really pretty hair and you look at yourself like, oh, I don't have that, you know, my hair's not as good. So I'm going to go out and do things to make my hair pretty like hers. And then you like attract more mates. Like that's a psychological reason. But I just think that women should kind of rise above the cattiness and to realize, yeah, I'm feeling these feelings of you know, a little bit of jealousy because everyone feels it. I feel, mm-hmm. you know, I do, mm-hmm. but I got to try and just like be realistic about it and being, you know, and tell myself like, you tell yourself like what's going on, you know, like I can openly be like, okay, I'm being a little bit jealous. And then you can in turn see what you can do to help yourself with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
It's hard, yeah. I mean, it's sometimes, I mean, at least for me, like, you don't always realize that it's, like, it's just, like, a natural...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
What is this going on between us?
Oh, yeah. I think the most amazing thing in the world is when two women, they have a really good sense of themselves, and they're both competitive, and instead of using the competition to, like, tear each other down or to, like, make each other look bad, they use that competition to build each other up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... You rise to this occasion, then I rise to this occasion, then you rise and I rise. And we're just going up instead of just trying to, like, you know, undermine each other and do just stuff that's going to really just set us back in the long run.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the more women that understand that and try to use these and try and, you know, and really just try and, like, get a solid sense of themselves and just, like, better themselves instead of tearing each other down.
Yeah. Well, so do you see... Do you have any thoughts on things that women don't like to talk about?
Oh, girls don't like to talk about pooping. That is like the number one.
Wait, pooping?
Oh, God. Okay, so basically, like, there's this, like, the public bathroom or whatever, like, at my work. So basically, girls do not like to poop in front of each other for some God knows reason.
Or anybody.
Like, or anybody, right? Like, God forbid we even, like, hear, like, a story of when we farted. You know what I mean? Like, we just immediately just freak out for some reason. You know? Like, and, like, the women... So, like, there will be, like, two women in... Like, okay, so there's, like, five stalls. There'll be two stalls taken. Mm-hmm. These women are just waiting each other out. Because none of them wants to poop in front of the other one. So, like, I've literally been in a bathroom with three different women, and everyone is just waiting each other out. Okay. And, like, no one is
going. It's just quiet?
It's just quiet. Like, you know, if someone has to pee, they're going to do their business and go. But, like, we all know what we're there for. And no one can just, like, seriously just do it and go. Like, everyone has to be, like, so embarrassed and like, oh, my God, they can't even see my face, but I just can't know that they're hearing this, you know? Like, it's just, like, and, you know, like, I used to be, like, all embarrassed. And, oh, my gosh, like, what if someone sees me leaving the bath? You know what I mean?
And yes, like, I do know what you mean.
Yeah, and then just, like, and now I'm just, like, I really just don't care, you know? Because, like, in the end, like, what am I scared of?
Yeah.
Like, what am I even tripping about? Like,
so are you leading the way now? You go in there, you do your business, and then everybody else goes?
There's been a couple times that's actually happened. And it's like, I don't know if it's like a domino effect or what. Or if like one's like, you know what? Screw it. She did it. And like, you know, I don't know really what it is. But like, that's something I've really noticed. And it's just like, I really like bringing up like poop and farts like around women and just seeing the reaction. And they're like, oh my.
Well, there is that book, like, Everybody Poops, right?
Is there?
It's like a little kid's book. I mean, this as a kid, I used to have a friend whose daughter did not like to, she didn't like to go. She just did not like to go. She was like,
oh my gosh, like in general?
Yeah, she would cry when they would go down the toilet. Like, it was like, she was like not understanding it. It just didn't make any sense to her.
So, that is so cute.
So like teaching her to let it go and then like literally let it go and then not be upset with it. Like, and it's like a thing. It's like a thing you evolve. I don't know. We're talking about poop on Radically Distinct Radio.
But it's kind of fun.
But, you know, I think that kind of comes back to how we think about ourselves and how much the way we, how, what other people think about us can affect how we show up in the world.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, we almost care more about what other people think than what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's something to really ponder about because, like, I mean, who's really living our lives for us in that respect? You know, are we living for everyone else? Am I living to be perfect and to be like my hair's always nice and my clothes, you know what I mean? Or am I living to live?
Yeah.
Because in the end, like at the end, someone's gonna be right, you know. And I just don't care about being perfect.
You want to play the starring role of your own life.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like it's really fun.
That's nice. Yeah. And do you think that that's sort of like breaking the rules?
Yeah, I think it's more of like not really conforming, which is in essence breaking the rules. Like if you ever want to see non-conformers, just in traffic time, look at all the single cars in the HOV lane. Those are your non-conformers, ladies and gentlemen. And I am one of them.
You are, of course. I actually got in there by accident. The other day I was in one. I didn't realize what I was doing. Maybe I was psychological. Maybe I was like tricking myself. I don't know. But I was in one and I couldn't get out. And I was like all of a sudden like in a ramp that was going up. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Dude, that's scary.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's no way I can say that I didn't. I mean, I could say I didn't know where I was going, but there's no way for me to say I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was like clearly on a ramp over there.
That's true. Dang it. I wish they didn't do that. I've done that a couple times. Where, like, it goes off, and I'm like, oh, my God, am I on the same road, or did I take an exit or something? Like,
well, you were driving to the HOV on purpose. I actually didn't mean to do it. I was oopsie. I wish I would just be like, oh, I guess I'll just drive fast now. But instead, I stressed out the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Like, and if it was I-5, you know, on the express lanes, I don't know, but I just know that I-5 doesn't give you tickets.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I should have said that.
Maybe not. Hey, if you're on I-5 and you're HOV lane,
just, yeah, don't say you heard it from us. Change your radio before you get pulled over. Change the station.
Well, okay, well, there was one more thing I wanted to ask you about before we get going. You had this one concept. Oh, I remember what it was. It was a cartoon character. that when we were talking about nice people finish last.
Oh,
do you believe that nice people finish last?
No, I think passive people finish last.
Passive people.
You know, I think that there's this like notion that if you're mean and if you're like a jerk and, you know, you're going to be more successful. But I think that that's just people speaking up. You know, you can be nice and you can speak up as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like good old SpongeBob said, what about aggressively nice people?
Okay, what was the context of that? Aggressively nice people.
Oh, like Plankton. He had been like a royal jerk all episode. And he basically was going on this spiel about how like, only assertive people take over the world. And then SpongeBob was like, well, what about aggressively nice people? And that just like so stood out to me because I'm very aggressively nice. And I think it's like, I really like it. And I really hope to like see other people like that, you know, because sometimes you got to like force nice down people's throats when they're being mean, you know, when they're being mean, you know,
okay.
Like, you know, it's like genuine nice when there's nice people and stuff. But like, I don't know. I do that at work.
Like kill them with kindness. Kind of.
Well, like, in front of them, kill them, you know? But, like, I don't know. I can't be kind to mean people.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work out.
Doesn't work out.
No. The words don't come out the way I intend them to.
You're like alpha dog.
Yeah.
Alpha girl dog. I like it. Okay, aggressively nice. And what else did we... Aggressively nice. Actress. Fiery driver.
Very fiery.
Well, you're inspiring. I love talking to you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
You're welcome. When working with my private clients, they tend to be focused on one of three goals: reinventing who they are, repositioning their businesses, or trying to become better at marketing and selling themselves and what they have to offer. If you're trying to do that for yourself, I want to draw your attention to the second pillar of the RAD method, which is perception. It has two parts: what you think, feel, and believe about who you are and what you have to offer, and what other people think, feel, and believe about you and what you have to offer. It's part fact and part illusion, and it's somewhat hard to get your hands on because it's intangible. It's not concrete. I brought Mary in on the show because she has such a strong sense of who she is and how that affects how she shows up in the world and how she interacts with other people. And she doesn't apologize for it. It's refreshing to be around, and it's what most people perceive as confidence. Oftentimes, when people are trying to do something new or achieve something they've never had before or put themselves out into the world in a new way, we forget or ignore that the way that we think and feel about our ability to accomplish what we're trying to do affects how we show up and perform. So, if you want to maximize your power to produce results, start by clarifying, what do you think, feel, and believe about your ability to achieve success? And thank you for listening to Radically Distinct Radio. This has been Jen Morgan. And until next time, be your most powerful brand. Hey, this is Jen Morgan. I want to empower you to be radically distinct. And there are many ways for us to work together. Whether you're an individual working on your career path or your life status, or you're a team or an organization, get a hold of me, jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, morgan.com. Email me, j@jenmorgan.com, and follow the show on Instagram and Facebook @radicallydistinct.